What I would like to do now is to look at some of the key thoughts that I would like you to think about and consider changing as you become a person who becomes more God-realized, that is, someone who has died but stayed alive and returned and went back on that return trip. The first of these thoughts to change is to change the idea that I can't trust in my own nature. Two, I trust in my own nature. Did it ever occur to you that you have a nature? That nature is so profound and is always calling you. You know it. No one else can know it. No one else can impose it on you. No one else can tell you what it is that you feel in here that you know is why you're here and what you're doing here. There's no one else can explain that or explore that with you. You can't share it. Everything in the universe has a nature. Your dog has a nature. A crocodile has a nature. A duck has a nature. A crow has a nature. Everything has its nature. Everything has a dharma, including you. But what we've learned and we've grown up to believe is that I can't trust in that nature. My nature, to trust in your nature, to know that you came from a divine place of well-being and to trust in it. Listen to this, verse 38 of the Tao, a few lines. The great master follows his own nature and not the trappings of life. A truly good man is not aware of his goodness and is therefore good. Think about yourself, the first moment of life, the very first moment, that speck when you went from nowhere, N-O-W-H-E-R-E, to now here, N-O-W-H-E-R-E, from nowhere to now here. Same thing, just a little question of spacing, just a little different spacing, all right? So you went from nowhere, now you're in now here, and where do you think you're going? Nowhere. Right? Back to nowhere. Who out there watching? Who in this audience isn't going back to nowhere? That's where we're all headed, back to nowhere. So in that split second, then you lived inside your mother's womb for 9 months. And in that 9-month period of time, you trusted your nature. You didn't have a sonogram and say, my God, I don't have a nose. This is very scary. What if it doesn't show up on time? Or you didn't do any of that. You trusted completely in your own nature, right? And so did your mother. There's very little that you can do because what you were to become, everything that this physical body needed, was all handled in there. And also, beyond what was needed for your physical world and what Lao Tzu called the world of the 10,000 things. The 10,000 things. There's 10 zillion things, obviously, in the physical world, but that's how he named it, the world of the 10,000 things. And in that world of the 10,000 things, everything returns back to its source. But while you're in that place, and why wouldn't you believe, even maybe for a second, that not only was my physiology all handled for me, but everything else that I needed, if I could just stop interfering with it and stop other people from doing it, that everything I needed, and that's a big part of understanding, change your thoughts, change your life. It's a big part of that. The idea that I have a nature that I can trust, not something that I have to be afraid of, and I can stop letting other people interfere with it as well. So what happens? We go through those 9 months, totally uninterrupted, we have no questions, everything works out, and then what? We say the very first thing, we pop out after 9 months, we'll take over from here. That was good work. Nice work, God. Thank you very much. And so what we'll do is just sort of edge you out of here, you know? So we edge God out. We take on an ego, E-G-O. And we edge out and we say, we'll take over. And we have an ego. And this ego, what this ego does is it takes on a set of beliefs. And these beliefs are that I am what I have, that I am what I do, that I am what other people think of me. So we're raised to believe that the more stuff I accumulate, the more things that I get, this is who I am. The more that people like me, this is what I'll get. And on it goes. I want to tell you a story. It's a story of one of my children. Her name is Tracy. We lived in Detroit when she was born. She came in as a little rebellious. She came in the middle of the Detroit riots when they said, nobody is allowed to go out. Anybody that goes out is going to be arrested. And she said, this would be a good time for me to show up. Which is exactly what she did. So when she showed up, after about the second or third year, Tracy went to preschool. And she came home from preschool. She was about three. And in that time, she came home and she said, she handed me a paper, and it had a gold star at the top of the paper. And I looked at it, and I said, and she said, Daddy, I got a gold star, I got a gold star. I said, I'm not really interested in gold stars. I said, but what are you doing? What is this? What? She said, well, we did something in school called adding, and I got them all right, and I know how to. I said, adding? I can't believe, you're three. You can't learn to add when you're three. And I went through this whole long thing about adding and how terrific it was. And she kept saying, Daddy, the gold star, excuse me, but I was the only one in the class that got a gold star. I got them all right. I said, you know, Tracy, I said, honey, that I said some people just need to have gold stars. And teachers sort of like to give it out and make that the reason why you're doing something. I said, and set you apart from everybody else. I said, but your dad doesn't really care much about that and how you stack up with others. And they're going to be, I'm more interested in what you're learning. And she said, okay. She was used to that. She had a weird daddy, and she knew that. So about another month or so, she came home with a paper that had looked like it had had a gold star on it, but it had obviously been taken off. Her little thumbprints were all over. But there was a place where there had been a gold star. It was taken off. And I said, what's this? Oh, she said, we're now doing subtraction. And I said, subtraction? That's amazing. And I took over by her dresser. I said, you know that money you've got in your piggy bank? I put it in my pocket. I said, that's called subtraction. Isn't that great? And she said, give me that money back. And we talked about subtraction. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, honey, what happened? What was this? What was here at the paper? And she said, oh, she said that. She said, the teacher gave me one of those gold stars. I said, really? I said, well, what happened to it? Oh, she said, I took it off. I said, well, what'd you do with it? She said, I gave it back to her. I said, well, what did you tell her? She said, oh, I told her to give it to someone who needs that sort of thing. True story. Yeah. And there she is. She's standing right here. She's going to be 40 this year, my daughter Tracy. So what we have to do is learn how to take this ego of ours, this part of us that believes that who we are is what we have and what we do and what other people think of us. But remember, if you grow up believing that you are what you do, then when you don't, you aren't. And if you believe that you are what you have, when it's gone, you aren't. And if you believe that you are what other people think of you, your reputation, which we raise people to believe, I have to be concerned with what other people think of me. Take this ego and retrain it. And one of the ways that you do to retrain it is, first, you take this idea that the ego has of fear. What are you afraid of? Anybody out there, what are you afraid of? Shift from fear to curiosity. Become curious about what you're afraid of. That's what Lao Tzu taught me. Become curious about what you're afraid of. You're afraid of flying? Get curious about that. Get interested in that. You're afraid of snakes, you're afraid of disapproval, you're afraid. Just shift from fear and say, I'm going to become more curious about what I'm afraid of. And then take all of the things that you're attached to, like all of your photographs, like all of your furniture, like all of your clothing, like all of the stuff that you find so much attachment to, and start letting it go. Start letting it go. You know, the day that I turned that key on May the 11th in 2006, I didn't even know where it was going. I just knew there was a shift taking place. I felt freer than I'd ever felt, I think, in my life. In my mid-60s, out there on a whole new adventure. And here we are talking about it on national television, on PBS. Take that idea that you have to be attached to things and know that you came in with nothing, with no thing. And you're going to leave with nothing, with no thing. And understand that your life is a parenthesis in eternity. Live there without attachments. And then take your need to be in control of yourself, of others, of the situation, and shift from control to trust. Begin to have a trust. Lao Tzu is profound about this. In each one of the 81 verses, it comes up about 60 times as you look at letting go and letting God, allowing yourself to trust in your nature, allowing yourself to no longer believe that everything has to be controlled by me and that other people no longer have to be in control of me as well. Begin to trust. Trust, just like you did for the first 9 months. You trusted. Your nose showed up. Your height showed up. Your eyes showed up. Whatever. It all showed up. It's all perfect. It's all divine. Why not wander through your life and have this wonderful, peaceful knowing that it's all fine? And finally, shift from your sense of entitlement. Nobody can treat me that way. I'm entitled to have this. Well, I paid for that. I let go. I mean, that in 1 year, I let go of all of my entitlements. I don't feel I'm entitled to anything. I'm just here. Shift from entitlements to radical humility. Lao Tzu speaks about it so often. Stay humble. Stay low. The greatest leaders are the ones who do the least. The ones who stay back and just model and allow. And at the end of the day, in one of the verses of the Tao, it says, the people will say, we did it ourselves. We did it ourselves. In verse 49 of the Tao Te Ching, here's an exact quote. The sage is kind to the kind and kind to the unkind because the nature of his being is kindness. And also, be wise and help all beings impartially, abandoning none. You know what I do? Just before I did this program, I have to admit, I was nervous. I was humbled by it. Like, who are you, Wayne Dyer? Who are you to read the Tao and believe that you can interpret it on television and interpret it in a book and spend a year and say, like, I got real humble with that. And you know what I say? Tao, which is just another word for God or Source or Krishna or Allah or whatever you want to call it, guide me. Guide me now. I have that awareness before I come out. If you knew, it says in the Course in Miracles, if you knew who walked beside you at all times on this path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear or doubt again. I remember Mother Teresa saying to a dear friend of mine who was asking, what could he do? What could he do to do something for her? He was, his name was Pat McMahon. He was on KTR radio in Phoenix. And finally, Mother Teresa said to him, you can do something for me. She said, tomorrow morning, get up at 4 a.m. and go out onto the streets of Phoenix and find someone who's living there who believes that he's alone and convince him that he's not. That's what you can do. That's how saints talk. That's how Lao Tzu spoke. Okay, let's go on to the next thought, to change. So you're changing from not trusting in your nature to trusting in your nature. You change your thought from I need more to what I call living contentment. What is this thing about more? It's the mantra of the ego, isn't it? I have to have more. I have to collect more stuff. I have to have more friends. I have to have more money. It's more, 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 more. When where you came from nowhere. You don't need anything. It's a continuous bombardment that we are all exposed to in this whole world of believing that we have to have more. It's one of the reasons why I love public television so much. You don't see ads on PBS. You don't have to be constantly exposed to the idea that you have to have more and you have to get more, and if you don't have this, then you're not complete and so on. So we get bombarded with this idea of attracting more. And Lao Tzu says, live contentment. Live in a state of being contented. Here's verse 81, the last verse of the Tao Te Ching, my favorite translation of it, and I put it right into the book. Sages do not accumulate anything, but give everything to others, having more the more they give. It's a great lesson. My son Sands, who's You know, we're very, very close. We just spent a couple of months together over in Maui, just being together, just being. It was a divine time. And he came home with, it was last summer, he came home with four T-shirts that he loved. And I said, well, honey, I said, which one do you like the best? He said, well, that one over there, that blue one, it's got the writing, and it's got the drawing, and it's got a surfer, and it's got, I said, that's great. I said, I'd like to have that one. He said, no, Dad, that's my favorite. That's the one I like the best. I said, I know. I said, that's the one. Would you mind if I had that one? He said, I would mind a lot if you had that one. He said, maybe you can have one. I'm not so crazy about this one over here. I said, so you're going to give me something you don't like? You know, I said, I want, that's the one. I love that because we have the same taste. Could I have that one? He said, Dad, you're crazy. He said, you can't have my favorite T-shirt. I said, well, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about detaching and letting go and not needing to have more. And he's heard me talk about this stuff his entire life. So finally, he just, you know, I went in and I tried it on and I said, ah, this thing looks so great. Looking in the mirror, you know, thinking. He said, Dad, that really is mine. I said, yeah. I said, but you're going to give it to me. He said, no. I said, yeah, well, just think about it, you know, because I'm your dad, and I'd really like to have this. And so he reluctantly parted with it. And so that evening, I was still wearing the shirt, and he looked at me, and he said, oh, that's my shirt. I said, you know, Sands, I said, you gave me the shirt. I said, I'm going to wear this shirt until you are happy that I have your favorite shirt. I'm never going to take it off until you are happy. He said, well, you'll be wearing that shirt a long time. I said, well, that's okay. So I wore it the next day. I got up. I slept in it that night. I got up the next... I did. I got up the next morning. I put it on, and that Sands would come in, and he'd look at me. I said, oh, you're still not happy that you gave me something that you really love, because this is what it really means to be a sage. This is what it means to be a divine being, to be someone who's willing to depart with not the things they don't like, but what they do like. I wore it the next day, I wore it the next day. I wore it for 2 weeks. Take it off only to wash it, put it right back on. 2 solid weeks, each one of my children will tell you. Finally, one day he said, Dad, I'm so happy. I am so thrilled that you have that T-shirt. I said, oh, that's great, I can finally take this thing off. I'm gonna just give it away. But it's like, what a great lesson in that. The idea that you take, you know, there's a rule, it's called the 80-20 rule. And in the 80-20 rule, it says everything that you have, all of your stuff, 20% of it is what you use. All of your clothes in your closet, 20%, you just keep using the same 20% over and over. 80% of the clothing that you have in your closet for so many people is something that you never use, you don't wear. You look at it, you store it, you think, well, there might come a day, oh, I can't part with that, even though you've been carting it around. Every time you move it and you put it. Take the 80% that you don't use, says Lao Tzu, and give it away. Give it away. Lao Tzu said that when your cup is full, stop pouring. When your cup is full, stop pouring. We have an obesity crisis in the United States, in the Western world. The obesity crisis can be handled if you just read the Tao. If you realize in verse 33, it says, if you realize you have enough, you are truly rich. If you could just learn something called portion control, where you just take a bite and you say, is my cup full? Stop pouring. Stop pouring. In other words, instead of filling yourself with that which is already a surplus, in the Tao it teaches us to take surpluses and to reduce them, and to take deficiencies and increase them so that we create balance in our lives, to be in balance. You can take the jewelry that you don't use. You can take the clothing. And then once you've given away the 80% that you don't use, take one of the things that you really like and practice giving that away. It's such a wonderful way. Listen to this poem. It was written by a great Persian poet named Hafiz. It says, even after all this time, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. Just look what happens with a love like that. It lights up the whole sky. it lights up the whole sky. There's no owing. There's no owing. You don't have to be. You can practice living in a state of contentment. This was so powerful for me. You just can't imagine how good it felt for one entire year to walk through every day and say, I'm content. I'm content. I start out every morning of my life. The first words, Hafiz says, if there's only one prayer that you say every day, make it thank you. Just say thank you. That's how I start. Wake up. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Source. Thank you, Tao. Whatever you want to call. The opening line of the Tao says, the Tao that can be named is not the Tao. As soon as you put a name on it, it dissolves. There's no name for it. It's just endlessly, invisibly, constantly in a state of creating out of a state of love.